Good morning, church. How's everybody doing? We're going to get started here. We're going to sing some worship. Yes, all the worship ladies to the stage. We decided that we're going to call these ladies the One Life Ladies. We're going to make t-shirts and everything. I told them I'm going to get them all the best gigs. I'm their manager. How's everybody feeling today? Are you guys warm? I was just talking to Zeke. It's still cold, but it was very, very cold around 6:30 this morning when I came to.
If you get up and raise your hands and dance, you'll warm up really quickly.
Yes. So we're gonna get into worship. I had another interesting. I'm getting so many stories from work. From driving FedEx truck in, whether it be the mud, whether it be in snow. So the next time you see your FedEx driver, just give him a hug and just tell him he's amazing, that he's essential. But this last week, it snowed, and I was sent out to Ellensburg, and I'm in a truck, and I have studs, and we have chains in there, but there's certain roads out there in the rural Ellensburg area that they're not paved, they're not taken care of. You know, it's up to the homeowners to take care of that. And so all that to say, I'm driving on very slick roads, and I was going up this road, and this road, in order to get to it, I have to go under the bridge, and my truck is just big enough to fit under in this tunnel. Two tunnels. It's one, big enough just for one car, let alone a big truck. And as I start to go up, I notice I'm slipping a little bit. And my options are I keep going or I try to back up through the two tunnels while I'm sliding. So I just keep going, but I realize as I end up making it around, but I realize I have to come back down this thing. I'm also thinking like, well, they have insurance. It's not my car, so I'll be fine. And so I end up making it through, but as I'm going down this hill, and I'm like, I'm probably like, no joke, 2 miles per hour, like very, very slow. I'm creeping down this thing, but I'm still sliding. And the only way to get my vehicle to go straight is to let off the brake and just so the car will grip a little bit. But I obviously don't want to build momentum. And so it was a scary moment, but it got me thinking just about how, like, when we depend on anything other than the Lord, how it can feel like we're going in the right direction, but ultimately what's happening is that we're sliding, we're slipping. And when we allow the Lord to take charge, to be in control of our circumstances, of our life, and say, Lord, I'm going to trust you with this, and I'm going to allow to, it seems scary, but I'm actually going to take my foot off the brake a little bit and let you accelerate my life. It doesn't make sense, but I'm going to let you accelerate my life. That's when I get to see the amazingness of God move in my life. Raise your hand if you want to see God move in your life. Okay? God, and here's the amazing thing. God wants to move in your life. So it's great that we want to, but he is so, like, in love with us. He's like, I want to move in your life. You want to see a miracle happen in your life? I want to see that happen more than you do. You want to see that relationship restored? I want to see it happen more than you do. You want finances to come into your life? I want to see that happen too. But it takes diligence, it takes worship, it takes us leaning into him. So it began as we worship today, as we sing these songs today, my challenge and my encouragement is that we would position our heart to say, God, I want not just more of you, but I want all of you. God, I want you to come into my life, and I want you to take the circumstances that I've tried to take control of and not give over to you, and I want to give them to you. So, Lord, we thank you today. We thank you that you're here in this place. We thank you, God, that we get an opportunity to worship your name, God. And I just release, Lord, a blessing, a peace, Lord, your presence into this place, God. And as we lift up our voices to you, God, we would lift up our burdens as well. We would lift up our circumstances. We would lift up our lives to you, Jesus. And I just pray that every single person in this room would get a touch from heaven in their bodies, in their spirits, in their minds. Lord, that they would not leave this place, Lord, with the same burdens that they walked in with. Sickness, you have to go. Depression, you have to go. Anger, you have to go. And we just thank you, Lord, that you're here in this place. So come on, let's worship in Jesus' name. Amen.
It's time to sing. Time together. Thank you for the ability to come and worship you in spirit and in truth, Father God. Lord, I just pray that as we hear our message today, Father, seeds will be planted in fertile soil, Father, that your word may take root and bear a harvest of multitudes, God. We may eat of that fruit and share it, Lord, that the harvest will be overwhelming, Lord God. I pray that our ears can hear what you want us to say. Our eyes will see your truth, Father God, and our minds and our hearts will be in alignment toward your will. Thank you, Jesus.
Can the church hear me? Can you guys hear us?
Yes.
All right.
Hello, family.
Hello, family. Matt's going around and showing us your beautiful faces.
Can you guys hear us?
We're waving at you. Hello? Oh, yeah, you can. Awesome.
Hi, you guys.
Technology is working today. That's so cool.
Yes.
You all look amazing.
Hi, Matt.
Hi, Matt.
So are we just on the phone?
Yeah, well, we're seeing them. We don't get to hear them because
they can hear us.
We believe you can hear us. So, well, hello. We are obviously not in church today. We wanted to be there. I wanted to be there, but still recuperating. There's a process that you go through of healing, which I've really never experienced this kind of trauma to my body. That's what I would call it. But as I said last week, the Lord has been so gracious, so loving, so kind, so faithful, not only in his giving me greater strength every single day, but also just in knowing how many people have been praying for me, knowing how many people have been lifting me before the Lord and holding me in their hearts, and that is that's reassuring. But most of all, I'm just thankful for His abiding presence, and I'm able to sense His love and experience His goodness on a massive scale all the time. What do you have, babe?
So as we were singing the blessing, it is ironic because yesterday I was actually in Yakima working, and I pulled that up on it and really just contemplating what the words were saying. And I love the particular statement that says, "May His face shine upon you." And what that means, the shine word, what that means is that your countenance takes on a luminous, a light of God, and others can see it. And what I love about that is that it's not something that's hidden within us. If we let it, the very essence, the very luminous light of Jesus will shine through us, and people will be able to see it. And that's my prayer for you as a church body today. Even though we're not there, we feel the Spirit of God coming through the Zoom. We feel the presence as the women were singing. May His favor be upon you for 1,000 generations, on your family, on your children, and their children and their children. That's generational. That is a blessing that is being spoken over the children of Israel, but it has come down to generation and generation and generation. So may God's favor be upon you, and His countenance, His very essence, luminous glory, shine through your faces, and may you feel it deep within. We miss you guys so much. This is very weird for us. This is week 3, I think.
Week 3. I've never missed more than 1 week of church.
I have not missed this many weeks in a row of church ever in my whole Christian walk. That is just crazy.
We're heathens,
yes. But we're praying for you. We love you guys. Be blessed today in the name of Jesus. Amen?
Amen. Well, and just a little quick input on that song and on that verse is that this is a commandment that God made to the priest to pray this prayer over the children of Israel. And so it was God Himself who said, "I want you to bless the people this way when you minister to them, when you're in their company." And so it is it's an honor and a blessing to know that that's the way that God feels about us, that He loves us so much that He would have the great high priest, who is Jesus, pray that kind of blessing over our lives constantly as He's making intercession for us, because He is our great high priest now. So know that that is the heart of the Father for you and for me. And know that His love, though it's sometimes hard to comprehend and even sometimes hard to see working in our lives, is always working. His love is always working. His His love is what has brought us to this point today mm-hmm. and gotten us through 2020, and his love will take us through 2021. And so I just want to finish by praying for you guys
yes.
and for the service, as we're going to continue to listen and join in as Eric shares today. I believe there's going to be revelation that's going to open up in many hearts, and that it will not just be information, but it will be transformative revelation that can help bring a change in your heart so that you're more like Jesus when you leave today.
Mm-hmm.
So, Father, we just thank you, Lord, for our ability to gather together, whether physically or in the spirit, Lord. Right now, I just combine my heart and my faith, Lord, with everyone in today's service. And Lord, right now, I just release your perfect will over the rest of this service. Lord, I pray that you would just give Eric the perfect words to speak from the Holy Spirit. And that as we hear, Lord, our hearts would be illuminated, Lord, with truth.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, we know that it is your truth. You're experiencing your truth in reality, Lord, that helps mm-hmm. make us free. So, Lord, I pray for freedom. I pray for liberty. I pray for transformation. I pray, Lord, that there would be everything that you want to accomplish, that it would be accomplished in our lives today, that nothing that the enemy will have any ability to steal the word as mm-hmm. it's shared today, but that it would go deep into our hearts.
Amen.
And that
yes.
it would root deep, Lord, and that no cares of this life or no deceitfulness of riches or nothing by any means will be able to steal, Lord, the fruit that this word will produce. And I just thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to gather together.
Yes, God.
And we are excited to see what you're going to do in our coming days. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Love you all, and have an amazing rest of service. We'll be joining you listening.
Check, check. We love, how many of you guys love Pastor Mike and Kay? Let's just give them a I love you on the count of three so they can hear it over the mic. Okay, ready? 1, 2, 3.
I love you.
Some of them didn't say it, Pastor, but that's okay. We love you. No, I'm joking. I think most people, I tell them every day, Herman, okay? I think everybody knows, if just in case you're unaware, our pastor a week and a half ago, was it, or almost 2 weeks ago, he had went to the hospital, and it was scary. You know, I'm not gonna lie to you, as full of faith as I am, it was scary, and so glad to see him back home, to see him back to his normal, if you can call Pastor Mike normal, his normal self. And I mean that in love. The more and more you get to know him, the more and more you get to see his quirky side. But this is, you know, it's his faith that I am so inspired by, as well as, you know, if he said that the words I speak, you would leave more like Jesus, which, no pressure. So please leave more like Jesus, because otherwise, I don't know. He tends to do that. I think the last time when we moved back in 2012 from Yakima to California, and I got to speak literally right before we were on our way out of the state. And I don't know if he said it in front of everybody or he just told me. He said, preach like you're Jesus about to, you know, get sent off, like the last sermon Jesus got to speak before he gets crucified. It's like, yeah, that's those are big shoes or big sandals to fill. But I'm going to be speaking today on foundation, and I think that this is a pivotal word for right now, because it's the beginning of the year, and the last two Sundays Nancy and I have shared a kind of word, kind of casting vision into 2021, and I think it's really important that we take a look at our foundation as believers. And so my foundation began in this place. I got saved in 2005 right here at the altar, and I don't recall if it was Pastor Mike or Pastor Ken, but one of the pastors prayed for me. I feel like I would remember Pastor Mike because he has a tendency when he lays hands on you, he'll put his big banana fingers over your face like this. It's like a baseball mitt over your head. And he would always mess up my hair, and I would just have to forgive him in the middle of being prayed for. And but I got prayed for right here, and I was 19 years old. I was not a kid, Zeke. I was a grown man. I was paying bills and taxes at that time. But I was a kid. I was a young man. And I turn around, and my wife's, or at that time my girlfriend's mom and dad, were standing right behind me, and they embraced me, and I cried, and it was like that ugly cry, like snots coming out of my nose, and I went back to my seat. I used to sit in the very back, and I just was like, I don't even know what, like, I knew what happened, but I didn't know what knew what happened. And I was just like a mess. I was like, I don't know. And it just began this journey on my life, because prior to that, my foundation, if I could even call it that, was God was this being that was up there in heaven that, sure, I would pray to, but never actually believed my prayers went anywhere. I was raised primarily Catholic, but I was very much a Christmas and Easter Catholic. And even that, I went to, we would visit Moses Lake where my grandma, she went to church, and we would go to Spanish church, and I'm Mexican, can't speak Spanish, so I don't even know what he's saying. And so that's my faith. I would wear a cross, my little crucifix, and when I remember being in school, and the hardest I prayed was during math tests. And I would just pray like, Jesus, like, I mean, honestly, like, I'm not even joking with you guys. I would look at the paper and I would just say, I would just be like, Jesus, if you're real, give me the right answer. That's not how it works, obviously. And so, failed math for a very long time. And so that was the Eric journey, you know, until I come to 19 years old and I give my life to Jesus and I begin building this foundation with the Lord. And it was a very rocky, very, very interesting journey. I wanted to do a lot of things my way and not a lot of ways that Jesus wanted me to do them. And so, and that doesn't work out very well either, just in case you're wondering how that worked out. And so it brings me to now. I'm 35 years old. I'm a real man now. And I've been walking this journey and I'm still figuring this out. But what I do know is this, is that my foundation is based truly and ultimately in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I say that to say this, that when I'm faced with struggles, when I'm faced with trials, when I'm faced with anything, whether it be finances, in my marriage, in my parenting, in ministry, in my job, is I know first and foremost that I'm immovable and unshakable from this truth that God is always good. He is always good. It's such a simple truth, but it's something I want you guys to remember, is that the goodness of God never changes regardless of who's in the White House, regardless of what job you're working, whether you continue to have that same job or not, regardless of what relationships you're in. Those things can change from time to time, from years to years, whatever, but God's goodness never changes. And this needs to be our foundation, because if it's not, and you'll know pretty quickly if it is the foundation, is that when life happens and you get blindsided by something and you begin to question the goodness of God, you know right there where my foundation was never actually set in the Lord. So my encouragement is this, is that we would begin to take assessment of what our foundation is, what we've laid down, you know, what have we been doing, you know, with our, however long you've been in church or been serving Jesus, is what actually have I been doing? What actually have I been putting my faith in? Has it been the Lord? We're going to read in Daniel 3, if you have your Bible. If not, that's okay. I'm going to be reading it. And in Daniel 3, we read this story that if you have been in church any amount of time or in Sunday school, it's about these guys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Or if you watched VeggieTales, there's a good story in there. Here's my thing. Again, I didn't get saved until I was 19, so I didn't grow up in church. I didn't grow up in children's ministry, in youth group. So my first experience of VeggieTales was an adult when I had my own kids. And I'm going to say there's something messed up about learning about the Bible and watching VeggieTales because I mix them all the time. I'm reading the Bible and I'm like, wait, I thought that was a chocolate bunny. This says it's not that. And so, because in the story, you know, this story, it's a big chocolate bunny that they're supposed to worship. And so it's not a chocolate bunny, though, unfortunately. But if you haven't, go look on YouTube and look up the chocolate bunny. It's a great song. The bunny. Anyways. So we're going to read this. This is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And what's happening here is King Nebuchadnezzar, he builds this huge monument. And in short, he wants everybody to worship it. He says, as soon as you hear the music, as soon as you hear the flutes, as soon as you hear all the instruments, you bow down, you worship that thing. Everybody. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you're doing. You stop and worship this. But there's these three guys, and they're not just any regular guys. They're not young men. They're old. They're up in age is the word I'm looking for. They're older than me and most of you, and so even older than Pastor Mike. And so that they're up there. This is not the time when they began to lay their foundation. When King Nebuchadnezzar said, hey, I need you to worship this monument when you hear the music, that wasn't the moment that they said, oh, we better make sure our foundation is in this place. Their foundation was laid decades before this. In Daniel 1, when we get introduced to these guys, the research that I did said that these guys were children, essentially. They were preteens. That's when they were laying their foundation. And so this is why I'm so passionate about young people, which, by the way, Monday was our first youth meeting and it was amazing. The few youth kids that are here. Yes. Good. Thumbs up. Okay. Awesome. And this is why we're so passionate, my wife and I, about young people, is because we know that if we can get foundation laid at that time when they're young, before all the craziness of life happens, then when life does happen, they'll have a strong foundation to stand on. When the temptations come of life, or when finances get tight, or when the boyfriend or girlfriend breaks up with them, or et cetera, they'll have a strong foundation. And so when we're reading here right now about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they've been building on this foundation for a long time. So we're going to read in Daniel 3 and starting in verse 13, and I'm reading the NIV. It says, and this is King Nebuchadnezzar talking to the three of them because he found out that they're not bowing down. It says, furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar said to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods of worship, the image of gold I have set up? Now, when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what god will be able to rescue you from my hand? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods of worship, the image of gold you have set up. Let's pause there for a second. What are they saying? My foundation is so strong in what I believe in the Lord that no matter what you throw at me, I'm still going to say yes to God. no matter what happens. And what do they say? They say, I have full faith in God that he's going to deliver me from this. But even if he doesn't, I'm still going to follow Christ. This is the faith. This is right now what we're reading right now. In their faith, in their audacity for the Lord is what we're going after. Is that I'm not just serving God because I get to come to a Sunday service where we hear some good songs and a sermon, or because I feel good or I feel tingly when they sing my favorite song, or because it makes me feel like I'm a good person. I'm serving God because my everything is in him. I'm putting everything I have. I'm putting all of my eggs in that basket, all of the chips on the table, every analogy you can use to say I'm all in, regardless of what life throws at me. And so, and I don't want to oversimplify this, because I know sometimes some people can be hearing this and be like, wait, but you don't know what I'm going through. And I don't know what you're going through. But what I do know without a shadow of a doubt is the goodness of God. And so regardless of what life is today or tomorrow or in the next few years, the goodness of God never changes. Everything is built on this. The first thing I want to say, the first point, I guess, if you will, strong foundation withstands. They had every opportunity to bow down to King Nebuchadnezzar's shrine. And would God have forgave them? Yeah, because he's a forgiving God. But their foundation withstood the pressure. It wasn't just the king saying, bow down. They had everybody around them. And again, I'm mixing up now the story in VeggieTales, because what I see is the vegetables and everybody, all the vegetables and the three of them not bowing. And so that's the picture I have in my head. But if you can just stay with me for a second, envision the people that they, that the music would play. Everybody's bowing down except them. And they're saying, I don't bow to anything but God. That's what I believe. Strong foundation withstands. Here's the thing. Your foundation isn't truly your foundation until it's tested. You know, that we've shared briefly about our story. I don't want to beat a dead horse about us leaving Yakima to go down to Redding, California. I will let you know, my foundation was tested in those years, especially in those first few months. My foundation was tested. To go down to another city, to another state with nothing and bring my family along is crazy. But I knew that my God was still good. And I got to see him come through. I was able to stand on the foundation of God, you're a provider, and I got to see him provide. I was able to stand on, I was just thinking about this today, Skylie, at that time she was 4, and she used to deal with eczema. She would have these patches of dry skin, especially like between like her elbow right here. And I realized one day after a few weeks of us being there, I'm looking at her and I'm like, the dry patches are gone. Like, we didn't do anything special. We just believed that our God is a healer, and that's the foundation we stood on. And we got to see healing happen. We got to see that last week, right? So pain in your foot for days and days. You thought it was broken.
Yeah, I thought
you thought she needed to go into the doctor. We pray for her, and to this day, no pain, right? No pain. Matt, you had pain in your foot?
Sure.
Prayed for it? You have pain right now? You guys, this is the foundation that we need to lay our faith on, is that our God is a good God. He is a healing God. He is a providing God. Because when life happens, we're able to say no, because the foundation that I have in my life and the belief that I have in my God is that he's going to take care of that. We won't really know what our foundation is until it gets tested. So don't run from trials. Don't run to them either. But when trials happen, because that's just life. Any of us who've been alive for any amount of years know that life happens. Some of you have experienced some really, for lack of a better term, crappy things. Do you have something? Come up.
Mm-hmm.
So if anyone feels like they failed or they messed up, God knew you were going to mess up, and it's still a part of his plan, and he still loves you. He knew you were going to mess up. He knew you were going to mess up the moment that he called your name and said, I love you, and I want you to be my child, and I want you to know that you're my child. So you didn't mess up, because it was all a part of the plan.
Thank you. Here's the thing, guys. If you don't know actually what it looks like to build foundation, this is a great opportunity for you to lean into the Father and say, how do I do this? Because that's what a good dad does. A good dad takes his son and daughter and says, hey, I know you don't know how to do this, and I'm going to teach you how to do this. I know, like, I took my kids snowboarding last week, and I told them, I know you don't know how to snowboard. Actually, you're going to fall. You're going to fall on your butt. You're going to maybe fall on your face. You're not Shaun White, okay? You're not a professional snowboarder. But I'm going to show you how to do it. That's what a good father does. He says, hey, you don't know how to build foundation? Invite me into this process. When you invite God in, you guys, he is willing, and not only he's willing, he's so excited. Yes, I will show you how to do this. So you get to invite him in, and he helps you build strong foundation. God builds strong foundation. Continue reading in verse 19. They just told him, we're not worshiping your gods, we're worshiping our God. 19, then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with them, and his attitude toward them changed. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing fire furnace. So these men, wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. The king's command was so urgent and the furnace so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these 3 men firmly tied fell into the blazing fire. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leapt to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, weren't there 3 men that were tied up and threw into the fire? They replied, certainly, your majesty. He said, look, I see 4 men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the 4th looks like the son of the gods, aka Jesus. Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here. So they came out of the fire, and the satraps, prefects, governors, and royal advisors crowded around them. They saw the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair on their heads singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, praise be to God, to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Let your foundation be shown. When you let the foundation in your faith be shown in your life, revival happens. We had a man, King Nebuchadnezzar, saying, I built this shrine, everybody bow down to it. The second he sees these 3 test their faith and go into the furnace and see God move, then we get to see revival happen. Because he says, oh, that God is real. The thing that I've put up for you guys to worship is not real, but that's real. Worship that. We don't know who's watching, and we're not all meant to, you know, we're never going to live a perfect life. But when we get to let our light shine, like the Bible says, you know, being the light of God and shine in our lives. When we allow that to happen and not hide it. No, I don't want to offend people by my Christianity. I don't want to offend people that you know, I don't want to say God's name. I don't want to say Merry Christmas because it's Happy Holidays, you know. No. Right? When we let Jesus shine out of us, we have no idea what's going to happen. We have no idea the opportunity that God's going to bring in our lives and see revival happen. Revival is when God comes into a circumstance, a situation, a people group, and he flips it for him, for his name. It's not just big numbers. It's not just a big crowd. I say, yes, that looks good on paper and that looks good in videos and stuff. But ultimately, revival is when God changes lives. The third thing I'm going to say, and we're going to wrap up, is this. Revisit the state of your foundation frequently. You know, I don't know a lot about building houses. I actually was going to call you, Matt, and talk to you about this. But so if I say anything that is heresy to builders, just let it go, okay? But the small research I did was this, okay, is that foundation, the foundation of your home, it needs to be, you need to check it frequently, at least every few years is what I read online. And what you're looking for is you're looking for cracks. You're looking for, we lived in this, as I was reading this, I was like, the last house we lived in had a really bad foundation. One of the things it said is slanting floors. We had this house we lived in Portland. It was a great house, but in the second living room we had, it wasn't just like a matter of you would put like a ball down and it would roll. If you were standing in that area, you felt like you were leaning. That's how bad it was. Like you almost like lose your balance, like walking in that area. So bad foundation. And so, but it's important that you're checking the foundation of your home. Why? Because if you don't maintain the foundations of your home, what could happen down the road? Eventually your house sinks. Your house breaks, essentially. Windows start to break things because the house needs to be on a solid foundation. And I was thinking about that. Think how if it's that important to check the foundation of our home, something that is just can be here one day and gone the next. Mind you, that house we lived in is now demolished. It's not even there anymore. If it's that important to check the foundation of our home, how much more important is to check the foundation of our soul? It is so important that we come back. I was saved. I went up and I prayed and then I got to see Jesus and then I'm good. No, you need to revisit and make sure that the things that you're believing are actually biblical and are actually from the Lord. It's amazing to me the amount of people that will post stuff on social media as if it's from the Lord, but it's not even biblical. And it sounds really good. That sounds like a great idea. But tell me where Jesus said that. Tell me how does that get applied to my life? Because that's the life I'm trying to live. I want my foundation to be seen on this, seen through this. And so I want to make sure I'm a person that I'm looking at my foundation and saying, okay, what is the stinking thinking that I might be believing? What are some lies I might be believing about the Lord? What are some things I might be believing about myself that aren't truths? And this is why community is also so important. Family is so important. Church family is so important. People in your life, pastors are so, like, I don't know where I would be without Pastor Mike and Gay. And it actually makes me sad that there are people out in this world that are doing life alone that don't have people like our pastors to say, hey, here's a thought, or here's what I'm thinking, and allow them to call us out on our junk. This is why, honestly, we did our premarital counseling with Pastor Mike and Gay. I wasn't a big fan of them back then, just being completely honest. They just told me stuff I didn't want to hear. You know, I was like, I'm 20 years old. I know everything. What do you know? And they knew a lot. They really did, you know. And one of the things I'm always reminded of is Pastor Mike. He still says it to this day, is the appearance of evil. Like, avoid the appearance of evil. And that's not his. That's from the Bible. But it's something that has laid a foundation in my life. It's like, oh, okay. It's not just about not doing evil. It's also about, like, how is my life appearing evil? You know, the foundation of us going down to Reading and taking that faith move came from this house, came from being in a church community that believed that God still moves today, that believed that God wants to see his children take risks. You know how I spell risk? How I spell faith is risk, R-I-S-K. My faith is not something that I just, is not always a calculated decision. Sometimes, a lot of times, it's a risk. God, I don't know what it's going to look like, but that's what faith is me taking a risk, me stepping on a ledge and then taking the next step, even though I can't even see the next step, even though I don't know what my foot is going to land on. So revisit the state of your foundation frequently. because we can get, we can, if we allow ourselves, we can get all kinds of messed up thoughts in here and think that we're fine. Think that we're okay. Hey, I went to church, you know, I haven't been to church, or I've been to church every day, you know, all year, and I've read my Bible, and I've been doing my reading plan, and I've attended the small group, and so I'm okay. But we're actually not letting anybody in and say, hey, can we visit the what actually your foundation of faith is? And so again, this year, as we continue to go into the year, but since it's the beginning of the year, my encouragement is that we would take an assessment of what our faith is in, who our faith is in, what we're actually saying that we believe in. Do either we believe he is God and he does the miraculous and he is good, or we believe something else? You know, I'm not going to read it, but the other story in Daniel 6, it's about Daniel in the lion's den. And it's an amazing story. Again, Daniel was an old man. He was in his 80s. So this wasn't a matter of, you know, them saying, hey, you can't pray for the next 30 days. And then him being like, oh no, let me set my foundation in the Lord. No, his foundation was set, because you know what he did the second they told him the decree is that he can't pray for 30 days? He went and prayed. That shows me that my foundation is in the Lord. And when I don't know what to do, I pray, even if that's the very thing they're telling me I'm not supposed to do. And he gets thrown in the lion's den, and the angel keeps the mouth shut, and he gets taken out. And then, you know, the leader kind of maybe overreacts a little bit, because then he throws the other people in with their family and kids. But, you know, that's neither here nor there. We all make mistakes, right? And so, but Daniel had a strong foundation. And it was his foundation that was tested. Daniel, let's see what you really believe. Let's see if this is really what you believe. If when I say you cannot pray, otherwise you get in the lion's den, you still pray. And he did. So if anybody has anything, I want you guys to take the opportunity. You can come up at this point. But if not, that's okay too, because I'm going to pray. Because I want us to make sure that we know what we're saying yes to. Because when we give our yes to the Lord, that means that our no's are so much bigger everywhere else. When I said yes to my wife, that means that all the millions and billions of women in the world get my no. That means that the things on the internet get my no. That means that any other thoughts, they get my no. Because my yes is so big. When my yes is so big to the Lord, that means doubt, fear, anxiety, depression, sickness, they get my no. Because my yes is so big here, I've laid a foundation of my yes being in the Lord, that it then becomes easy. My no then becomes easy. Amen? So, Lord, we thank you. We thank you that we get to lay our foundation in you, in who you are, in the truth of who you are. God, I just pray for us right now. I pray that you would reveal to us any area of our life that does not belong in the foundation of who we are and who you are. Whether it's stinking thinking, victim mentality, thoughts of depression, thoughts of suicide, thoughts of self-doubt, that you would take those things. And I just rebuke those things in Jesus' name. And right now, I just ask and I pray, Lord, that every person in this room, if they haven't already, would begin to lay the foundation of who you are, who they are in you, whose they are as a child of God. In who you are, and that's what they would stand on. God, repair the cracks of any foundation in this room. Repair the slanted ground and the imperfections of our foundation, Lord. It's only you that could repair them. It's only your truth that can repair them. And so we thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus, as we continue to trek into this year, God, that we would continue to revisit our foundation that we're standing on and say, is this the foundation that you have for me? Is this where you want me to be? Is this your truth, God, or is this a truth that I've maybe picked up from somewhere else? And we just thank you so much, Jesus, that you love us, that you're with us, that as we go throughout our week, as we go throughout our work day, Lord, as we go throughout our school day, God, that as we interact with our family, as we interact with our coworkers, you're with us and we can pull on you at any time. So we thank you for all this, God. And we just bless, Lord, this house. Lord, we bless Pastor Mike and Gaylen as well as they listen on, God. We pray, Lord, we continue praying for the healing of our pastor. And we thank you for his life. We thank you, Jesus, that you are restoring him even right now. That he is having a renewed strength. Lord, that when he comes back, he's coming back even with more energy than he had before. With more strength than he had before. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. We'll love you guys. And we'll see you guys next week. If anyone needs prayer, you're welcome to come up and we'll pray for you. So bless you guys.